My first question to you, Professor, is that did Justice Lee establish sufficient grounds to dismiss Lerman defamation case against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson?
Well, let's start with first principles, that when any plaintiff, in this case Bruce Lerman, launches a defamation case, they have to prove, when it was published, which of course the project was a publication, two, that he was identified. They didn't actually mention him by name, but the law allows innuendo to count for that. So yes, he was identified. And three, it had to be defamatory. And indeed, he found that it was defamatory to say someone had sexually abused this particular person. So a sexual abuser is a defamatory statement. So having established those three things, it then fell to, and the law of defamation requires, the defendant, in this case Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson, and defined one of the defenses defamation. So the onus is thrust back on them. And there's about six or seven defenses to defamation. The main one is this thing called contextual and substantial truth. There was another one they raised, which was easily dismissed by the judge. That's qualified privilege, saying this broadcasting somehow was actually a public service. But of course, that was never going to fly. So they had to establish whether or not it was contextually and substantially true. Now, for that to be the case, the judge had to be satisfied on the balance of probabilities that a sexual encounter had occurred and that Brittany Higgins had not consented. And ultimately, he found that was the case. That's what he ordered. That being the case, that it was substantially true that, in fact, he had been a sexual abuser. That's why the case was eventually dismissed and the order was made to throw it out.
Thank you so much for that. What are the legal implications of Justice Lee finding that Lerman did rape Brittany Higgins?
Well, there's one legal implication, and the first one is that he can't win his case. Whether or not he then has to pay the costs of Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson is a matter that's still to be determined. There's going to be a costs hearing. Typically, the person who loses not only pays his own costs, but has to pay the costs of the other side. That's not always the case if the judge thinks there are extenuating circumstances. We'll have to wait and see on that. So the first consequence is he's up for a lot of money in relation to covering other people's and his own costs. The second one, and I heard this being discussed yesterday, was whether or not they could resurrect the criminal trial, the rape trial, which was abandoned a year ago through juror misconduct. And so he had not made a statement, he'd not given evidence, and the jury was considering its verdict. And then they discovered that one of the jurors had accessed material that hadn't been put in evidence. And so the judge and Justice McCullum, or Chief Justice McCullum from the ACT, decided to call a halt to proceedings. Now, that doesn't mean he's exonerated. What it does mean, though, is that that's not going to proceed unless the Director of Public Prosecutions thinks there's some advantage in doing so. He wouldn't do that unless he thought it was in the public interest. I cannot see the DPP going back and rehearsing that again. I don't think the Australian public has the stomach for a criminal trial. It's on the cards, but I can't see it happening. The third option, of course, is that he may consider appealing, in which case he would be, I think, more of a fool than he otherwise has been shown to be. There's no way in the world he'd win an appeal, and it would only cost a lot of money, and I cannot imagine any lawyer backing him without money up in front in trust. So I don't think there's going to be an appeal. I think there'll be a costs hearing which will make him pay some of the costs of the losing side, although if he can't afford it, of course, he simply declares bankruptcy. And no, I don't think there'll be a criminal trial.